Welcome to the Been There, Done That podcast with Angela Dunn Cartledge.
Hi, everybody. This is Angela Dunn Cartledge, your host of the Been There, Done That podcast. I really am excited about our episode today with our special guest, Mayim Vega. How are you today, Mayim?
I'm well, thank you. And
good.
Got a good night's sleep last night, which is always important.
Yes, that's so important. It's important on any day, but I'm really glad that we're together today to have this conversation. So tell us a little bit about what you are and what you do and who you are.
Yeah, well, actually, in college, I majored in computer science. And I became, my first, career in computer science was as a computer scientist at the NASA Ames Research Center. And I worked on a lot of cool projects there. But then I had my first child. I got married and had my first child all in the same year. And I went back to work, and they had really great daycare at NASA. It was right next to the NASA Ames facility. And like on my lunch break, I could go there and breastfeed my baby. So it was really, really nice, a really nice setup. But it didn't feel natural to me. I was like, what animal in nature does this? Like has a baby and then, gives them to someone else and then just visits them. I was like, I'm really all about like, what is natural? What is the natural way? And I was like, this doesn't feel natural. Doesn't feel right to me. So I decided to quit my career and become a stay-at-home mom, but become a freelancer. So start my own, basically an online business. And the easiest thing I could transition to as a computer scientist was to do digital marketing for other computer/tech companies, mostly in the Silicon Valley, because I was there in the Bay Area. So cybersecurity and networking companies, a lot of startups, over there. So I did that. And then I had my health crisis, which wasn't actually the only problem that I had with the modern medical system, but it was basically the last straw, because I thought that I was basically on my deathbed. I thought that I was in such pain. They were migraines, but I was in such pain that I couldn't function anymore and I couldn't sleep anymore. I couldn't, do my business. I couldn't take care of my children. I had two by that time already. And so I was taking the standard over-the-counter stuff, Tylenol and, all that kind of stuff, but it eventually just stopped working. And so this one night, I just couldn't sleep and I was in so much pain. I asked my husband to take me to the emergency room and they ran a bunch of tests and the doctor thought that I might have a brain tumor. And so they did a CT scan on me and they came back and said, there's nothing wrong with you. We couldn't find anything wrong with you. They're like, you just have a bad headache and here's some strong painkillers. Bye. And I was like, well, what do you mean you can't find anything wrong with me? Like, that's crazy. I think I'm on my deathbed here. You thought I had a brain tumor and now you're saying there's nothing wrong with me. Where obviously, again, this is not natural for me to be experiencing this incredible pain and there's nothing wrong with me. There's obviously something wrong with me. But I realized at that time that, I wasn't going to find any answers in the modern medical system. So I started searching for my own answers. And that's when I enrolled in some certification programs for nutrition and herbalism and holistic health. And later on also holistic life coaching. And all of these disciplines basically helped me to form what I call the Aruka method, which is, I believe, the holistic way to heal, which incorporates body, mind, and spirit. So holistic health, holistic healers, they're often touted as being kind of mystical and like not very rational and things like that. And I think that's partly because holistic healing has to do with things that are invisible, you know, spiritual. It has to do with emotions and beliefs and, you know, even our relationships with ourselves, with other people, you know, with God. And, you know, and I think that's the reason why that spiritual aspect of holistic, you know, is very important, just as important as the physical. And
tell us how you see a grief, an inability to handle grief or an inability to recognize grief within ourselves, and how that might manifest itself within our bodies physically. What would that look like?
Yeah, certainly. And yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And, you know, grief, also trauma, stress, these are all very related. So during periods of intense grief, your body's stress response increases. And this can lead to, you know, cortisol and other stress hormones. And this suppresses your immune system. And, you know, the result is you're more susceptible to illnesses, like, you know, very basic illnesses such as colds and infections, but also even more serious conditions, especially if you already have a weakened immune system or you're already predisposed to certain conditions, then grief-related stress can definitely make it harder for your body to heal and recover from illness or pull you down deeper into a condition that you already have. And then, you know, there's also sleep disturbances. You know, when you're grieving, oftentimes it's very hard for you to sleep. And sleep is super important for your health, not only for your physical health, but for your mental health as well. And it can prolong the grieving process. So it's just like, you know, the cycle.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say, is it creates this vicious cycle where you're not dealing with the emotions. Therefore, you have the physical manifestations, and then the physical manifestations make you not able to tackle what you need to tackle within your own body. If someone was in an acute grief situation where they just lost a member of their family, or they just had a major change in their life, their job or something big like that, what would be your recommendation for them, for their ability to deal with that grief?
I would say, if you could put it in one word, it would be to really focus on self-care. I think that's the best, you know, one term for it. And of course, that incorporates a lot of things. Eating right is really, really important. Of course, sleep. We already mentioned sleep. Eating right, even getting exercise. I mean, that is very important. And you can grieve while you're walking. You can think and process emotions while you're walking, but you're doing it in such a way that is also healthy for your body. You know, I would also say things like, you know, try to get rid of responsibilities as much as you can, and kind of try to be a minimalist when it comes to your life. Having a good support system, you know, if you're a mom, reaching out to people who can help you with children, focusing on, you know, yourself, getting proper sleep, getting proper nutrition.
So tell us a little bit about your definition of self-care and what that looks like. What, I mean, of course, again, that's individualized, but for you, Mayim, what is your idea of self-care that you would use?
Well, some of my biggest challenges is sleep, is, you know, not getting proper sleep. And that's often tied to not getting enough exercise. So first of all, I have to prioritize getting some exercise in every day or every other day. And, you know, it doesn't have to be intense. Also, taking walks out in nature is really an important one. And in terms of nutrition, for me, definitely hydrating is very, very important. But also getting like good protein and fruit and fresh fruit and vegetables. Grief has also been linked to heart-related health issues, including an increased risk of heart attacks. And there's a term called broken heart syndrome, also known as stress-induced cardiomyopathy. And this refers to a temporary heart condition that mimics the symptoms of a heart attack. And this usually occurs after a very traumatic or emotional event. So, you know, intense stress or grief can increase your blood pressure, it can elevate your heart rate, and, you know, put a big strain on your cardiovascular system. And that's when things like, you know, just as I mentioned, vitamin E, CoQ10, omega-3, in terms of herbs, there's, cayenne.
How do you teach anybody that needs to be in a healing scenario that isn't there yet? Is there a way that you teach them to infuse those things back into their lives, and how, what is your strategy, or what is your thoughts around healing and what we need the most in those moments?
Well, I think one powerful tool for me, and a lot of students, is I don't have a name for this yet, so I'm just going to describe it. Is the thought that everything that happens in our lives, whether it's good or bad, even the trauma and the grief or the stress, is a blessing in one shape or another. It may not seem like a blessing to you at the moment, but eventually it is a learning experience, at the very least, and something that will help you grow as an individual, and to see it that way. You know, like my father died, and when he died, it was during COVID, and he was very alone because it was COVID, and, you know, we weren't able to go into the room with him. Everything was, you know, and even after he passed away, just kind of, you know, put him in a bag, and you know, we never really got to connect with him on his deathbed or afterwards. So that made that whole process extra harder, you know, on everyone because of the circumstances. And but, you know, I could look at the good side, which is that his suffering stopped, you know, and I have a lot of negative experiences in my life with him, you know, thinking and reflecting about him. But now that he's passed away, I just remember, like, he's had a hard life as well, you know, like he was orphaned at 12, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And that led to a lot of, you know, the reasons why he was maybe a harsher man than maybe I would have wanted, you know, and than the man that I chose to marry, et cetera. But then I just think about how far he came. And even though he was a harsh man, that he accomplished so much despite his circumstances. And I try to just remember the good, because I remember, as much as, you know, maybe I experienced some trauma in my childhood, but at the same time, I also learned a lot from him, and I could see all of his good points, you know, the beauty in who he was. And I just want to focus on that. And sometimes it's hard to do that while you're going through the grieving process. So sometimes you have to really just let yourself, you know, and that's another thing. That's another important thing, is to realize that emotions are not negative. They're not bad. It's good to be sad. You should be sad over things that are sad in life. You know, it's okay to be mad over things that are evil or unjust or, you know, wrong. But just not to let your emotions control you. You know, be sure to control your emotions. Let yourself process them, maybe sometimes it's hard, you know, you can do it in silence and in solitude. If you have a good friend or a mentor or spouse or something like that, you can do it with them. But sometimes it's hard to find a good friend. Sometimes it's hard to do it by yourself. So then in that case, you could go to a therapist or a life coach. And that's also part of, you know, my healing modality is life coaching, because sometimes people don't want to, you with a therapist, you know, because there's stigma and things like that, and they don't feel like there's anything wrong with them or broken with them. So a life coach can be someone that just helps them, listens to them, helps them set goals and make steps for their future, and helps them process their emotions, you know, not in a sense that, you know, there's something wrong with them or broken with them, but just, it's just part of the natural, you know, part of life and grieving and trauma and things like that.
I love that. I personally love to process out loud. It's one of the ways that I feel like I can work through things the best. I tend to hold myself back when it's only me talking. So I really feel like coaching and therapy are so critical for getting through something like a grief or trauma situation. But I also see the benefit in being still and having a meditation practice or having a yoga practice where you move your body, but you still are working through it kind of on your own. I think, again, just like what you've said this whole episode, is that it feels like there's multiple things that in combination will help us to move the wheels and to break through the rust and, you know, those kinds of things in our bodies and in our systems. So I really feel that personally, that those things are so important. I am terrible at self-care. I will say that all the time. And I don't mean to wear that like a badge of honor. I just have never really learned the things that I really feel like I need to do in order to take a break from everything else that's happening in my life. What I'm taking away from what you're saying is that a combination of things can create a cumulative effect.
I'd also like to add music. Music is really important, but make sure not just to turn on, you know, whatever random thing that is on the radio or Spotify or whatever, but to really intentionally look for, you can even look for a playlist like, you know, like music, soothing music or contemplative music, or, you know, it's very specific kind of music, not just some random thing or your favorite music, but make sure that the words are positive and comforting, or that there's no words at all, you know, but that is also very, very powerful.
Oh, I love that. And I find that everybody else in my family is really, really moved by music, and it can center their minds. It really can help them to be able to focus. And I like to use music more in the way that you just described, more of a contemplative, or a way to calm, because it'll calm my whole body to listen to a specific kind of music. So I feel that would be really great. Tell us about your holistic practitioner offering, your website, the name of your company, those kinds of things. How can we reach out and work with you and your group?
Right. So I do just personal health and life coaching for people. But I think my most transformative program is my Holistic Healer Certification Program. And that's basically where I teach everything that I know to my students, which includes naturopathic herbalism. And that includes, you know, nutrition, herbalism, detoxification and holistic health principles, and, you know, and the self-care that we were talking about, all those things. And also the second part of the program is holistic life coaching. And that's really for, you know, guiding people through their life, helping them set goals, whatever they be, personal, professional, family, career, spiritual, any kind of goals, and helping them to achieve that through a holistic manner, which, as we just mentioned, it will involve your mindset, making sure you're in the right relationships that are healthy for you, in the right kind of environment that is healthy for you, in addition to the physical, you know, the exercise, nutrition, and herbs. And then there's also the online business and marketing part of the program, because as a holistic healer or holistic life coach, it just means that we are visionaries. You know, we're kind of ahead of the times, and we're creating something new. And the reason why we're creating something new is because the things that we had, you know, that we have, the old ways, have been failing us, you know, just like the modern medical system failed us. And so that's why we, you know, we have to forge our own path in terms of how to help people through entrepreneurship.
How can we get in touch with you? How can we reach out to you and be a part of your training and be even a life coach?
Yeah. So the best way would probably be to visit my website at the, it's www.aruka.com, aruka.com. And then I have a free mini course, which basically explains my method and, you know, the things that we teach in the certification program. And then I'll be emailing you after you sign up for that. And so you can just email me right back and just, you know, say whatever you want. But I also wanted to say that, I think the emphasis on the online business and marketing really is because of my background in computer science. And that was my first business that I started, you know, was helping other businesses with their business, you know.
We need it. Oh my gosh. Online. We need it tremendously. Yeah.
Yeah.
What parting thoughts do you want us to leave with? What are your, what's really burning in your soul right now that you want everybody to know about holistic practicing and just in general, how can we be better? Give us a parting thought.
I would probably leave with one of the quotes that forms our mission statement. I think that would be a good thing to do, which is that this is by Hippocrates, known as the father of medicine, of course. So he said that the greatest medicine of all is teaching people how not to need it, and that everyone has a doctor inside him or her. We just have to help it in its work. And there's another doctor, and he said that there are really no holistic healers. There are only holistic patients, meaning you are your own best healer. You know, when people come to me, I don't heal them. I empower them. I equip them with knowledge, self-care ideas, and a lot of things they already know, right? You already know a lot of these things. I should get proper sleep. I should eat, you know, properly. But sometimes we tend to forget and we just need a reminder. And that's what the health coaching model is. It's you're the star, right? Just like a coach and an athlete, the athlete is the star. The coach is just there to give them strategies, support them, et cetera. And it's very different from the modern medical model where the doctor is the star, you know, the doctor is the expert and he's going to heal you with this pill, right? And that's really not even true. You know, only you can make yourself get the proper amount of sleep. Only you can make yourself move and exercise. Only you can choose to take that supplement or that herb that you need. Only you can feed yourself properly. Only you can change your mindset, you know, and control your emotions. Only you can get yourself out of a bad relationship or a bad situation. So you have to understand that you are your own best healer and the power is within you. Everything else, we're here to help. but you are the star. You are the healer. That's probably a good closing thought.
It is a very good closing thought. There's so much power there in that the parts that we can control are generally within us, and what we decide is so important. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your time, for your wisdom, for your calm energy. And I know that it's going to help my audience and yours as well. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great rest of the week. Shalom.
You too.